From Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 31, please.
By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Over to James 2. James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, verse 5, please. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Back now to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. You're likely thinking by this time it's a strange subject. So it is. Verse 9. Rahab said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. It shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Verse 19, it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. The subject tonight, Rahab the harlot. I want to talk to you about this woman that got converted. God won her heart before he entered Jericho. Now I'm sorry if I'm destroying some of your gospel messages, but Rahab was converted before the spies came. And the scarlet line in interpretation is not the blood of Christ. We'll see that as we go on. She was the worst woman in the city, and God saved her. Her house was upon the town wall, so she lived in the strongest part of the strongest city, and there God subdued the city. He subdued her heart. The first victory in the book is a moral victory, not a military one. And she stands representative of the household of faith, for everybody who was in that house was saved, and those who weren't were not saved. Her house is figurative of faith's household. Tell me, are you in? Or are you not? Are you saved? Or will you go down under the judgment? It changed their life. Just a prostitute, until she heard the report. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the report saved her soul and transfigured her life. Watch how, please, how conversion can open up a vista of life that you never would have thought of. Who would have thought the erstwhile prostitute would be the mother of Boaz and the grandmother of Obed and the great-grandmother of Jesse, and the great-great-grandmother of David? And who would have thought that God in his grace would lift her up and put her in the genealogy of Christ? Yet that genealogy indicates the grace of God, for in it there are four women. There is Rahab the harlot, Tamar who played the harlot, Bathsheba who committed adultery, and Ruth a Moabitess. Oh, the wonder of divine grace. Hebrews 11 draws attention to her faith. James 2 draws attention to her works. Matthew 1 places her in the genealogy of Christ, and Joshua 2 gives us the actual story, along with Joshua 6 when they entered the land. One day Joshua sent out two men to spy the land. They are called in Hebrews 11 spies, and James 2 messengers. They were messengers to Israel. They were spies to Jericho. Now tell me, brethren and sisters, have you ever noted that the men who came to spy never spied? As soon as they heard this woman's testimony, they went straight back to Joshua and said, "Get in." Isn't that amazing? They never spied. They went back, and Joshua, on the ground of this woman's testimony, prepared to enter Jericho. Wonderful, isn't it? The spies arrived at the door, and she took them in. And as soon as they crossed the door, she gave her testimony. Now, I know that she failed. I know that when the knock came to the door and the king of Jericho's men were there, the intelligence had got to work, and they're looking for the men that came in. When she went, she put them upstairs and hid them in the loft, and then went and told them that they had gone off. She told a lie. Don't try to whitewash her. What would you have done? And by telling the lie thereby, she denied us from getting to know how God would have dealt with the situation, while he overruled it because of her lie. So she said to the men, as she gave her testimony, we started reading at verse 9, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." Isn't that wonderful? Eh? She's in the line of divine purpose. She believes the promise to God through Abram centuries ago. She says, "I know that the Lord hath given you this land." That's good. She believed that God had a right to be in Jericho. Come again. She says in verse 10, "We heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea for you." That's the beginning of the wilderness journey. And she says, "We've heard what you did to Zion and Og." That's at the end of the wilderness journey. And they believed it, their hearts melted. But they didn't believe the way she believed. She believed and opened her heart to God. They believed and shut up the city against them. Come again. The power of God that opened up the Red Sea and defeated two of their greatest foes. The Red Sea is a figure of the death of Christ as a way out of the world into the wilderness. The moment that you put your faith in Christ, that faith of will makes this world a wilderness. There's nothing in it for you. Now, I know you've heard it often, but I don't know whether you really believe it or not. There's nothing in the wilderness to support the life that God has given you. Nothing in this world. The Jordan is your death with Christ in the land to enjoy it. Ah, but notice, they defeated two strong kings, Zion and Og, mighty men. And there they were, a nation of erstwhile slaves under Moses. They defeated two, along with many others, foes. Not one city was too strong for us. Now I want to ask you, are you living a life of victory? Come on now. I know that the world and the flesh and the devil are strong. Are you going on from victory to victory? Not one enemy too strong for you, because the power of Christ is with you. The captain of the Lord's host is in command. You'll never lose as long as you give him his true place. She says, as soon as we heard, our hearts did melt. No more strength or courage in us, because the Lord your God is God in heaven and in earth. Now she says, now listen to this. She says to the spies, now I've showed you kindness. Now she says, I expect that you'll show kindness to me. Now here's a woman just recently got to know God, and one of the first things that was produced in her was kindness. And kindness to her enemies. Outwardly. But to her, she was one of them. And she says, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, by Jehovah, since I have showed kindness to you, that you will show kindness unto my father's house and save us all alive. That's good, isn't it? She expected that what God produced in her, he had produced in them. Tell me, are you kind? Be ye kind one to another. It's one of the reciprocal things of Christianity. Kindness. Now, let's go down now, please, a little deeper. All right, the sand. We'll do what you say. You let us down by that scarlet cord. You put that in the window. And we come into Jericho. That'll save your life. And when they came into Jericho, the scarlet cord indicated to the armies of Israel that this woman believed with those in her house that God had the right to be in Jericho. That scarlet cord symbolized the rights of God to be in Jericho. That's what distinguished the household from every other household. God's a right to be here. It's God's land, not ours. No nationalism with her. Now, did you note carefully what it says in Hebrews 11 and James 2? Listen now. Hebrews 11. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. Isn't that right? Her faith receiving the spies. James chapter 2. Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when, having received the messengers, she sent them out another way? So her works are connected with sending out. Come again. In Hebrews 11, her faith is connected with the door. She received the spies. In James 2, her works are connected with the window. She sent them out another way. Interesting, isn't it? Now you've got that. For I'm going to build on that. Her faith connected her with the door. Her works are connected with the window. Did you note in the reading that ideally the door only opened one way? Isn't that right? It opened to let them in. They must never go out. If they're outside, when the armies of Israel come in, they'll be destroyed. If they go back on the decision to come in, they're liable to judgment. Listen, brethren and sisters, every backslider places a question mark against their salvation. For they have decided to turn their back on God and Christ. They are declaring that they're going to live their life independent of God and Christ. That's a bad thing. That's to put it mildly. If you're outside, you're likely to be judged with the folks that are out there. So ideally, the door opened, and once they went in, the door was shut. The door was shut on the Jericho world. Have you got that? Once they went in the door, their faith took them in. And the door closed on the Jericho system. They were finished with it. To go back to it is judgment. Now, have you got it? I want to ask you. You've entered the door of salvation. Have you closed it on the world? Now, come on now. Salvation means separation from a world that is under judgment. To go back to it. It's not why you got saved. Because you learned that world, the life you were living, brought you under the judgment of God. Brethren, we're too sophisticated. We're so clever now, we think we can handle the world and Christ at the same time. A well-known pop singer, you've probably got his records, said that he believed that Christ and rock and roll were compatible. If he's right, the Bible's wrong. For Christ and rock and roll are not compatible. That's the world. The discotheque and the pop concert is anti-Christ. It's not for Christ. And every man will answer to his God. But brethren, there's a new gospel and a new cross. That you can profess to be saved and go on with the things that you were not with before you were saved. And entertain thousands of teenagers with pop music on the road to hell. Isn't that right? And maintain your popularity for a generation. And at the same time produce music with words about Jesus on it, with the same beat that produces the same gut reaction. Come on now. It's Christ or the world, and make up your mind. Our weakness lies just in this, that we've left the door a bit open to enjoy a wee bit of the Jericho system. While we sing Rescue the Perishing and Care for the Dying. While we sing Take the World But Give Me Jesus, All Its Joys Are But a Name. And I'll leave it with you. For mind you, young folks, listen to me. It's going to become more difficult. And the sooner you get these things that we're teaching you right and proper from the Bible, you'll never be what God wants you to be. Now let me stop here. The tragedy of life is what a man or woman is and what they might have been. Now that's the tragedy of life, what a person is and what they might have been. I want to ask you, younger and older, and some of you, you've known Christ 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I want to ask you, are you satisfied? Now I know there's a sense in which there's a holy dissatisfaction. We know that. We've never arrived. On the other hand, are you satisfied looking back on the life that you lived? Is it possible if you hadn't tried to make the best of both worlds, you might have been bigger and better and greater? Pygmies when we should be giants, paupers when we should be millionaires. Because we've left the door open to enjoy a wee bit of the world. Just a little bit. Isn't that what Lot said? Just a little. Sitting. Have a watch. She shut the door. She went forward and looked out the window. Where was the window? In the town wall. Looking out on what? Looking out on God and the hosts of God. Looking out on the priests and the ark that you were hearing about. What's her outlook? God and his people. And she's looking forward to the day when they'll come in and she might enjoy fellowship with them. Eh? Isn't that right? Oh, her little heart would beat when the first day they marched round the city. Isn't that right? The priests and the armed forces and the ark of the sacred covenant went back. And the second day she watched and round they went round the city. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day she waited. On the seventh day, seven times they went round before the blast of the ram's horn and the shout of the people. Jericho's down under the judgment of God. Tell me, have you a window that looks out or looks in? You see, it's possible to have a window on the wrong side of the house. If the window had been in the door, she would have been looking into Jericho that was under judgment, the world. But her window looked from the town wall out on God's people, and she's waiting for the Lord to come in. Now I want to ask you, have you a window on the door and not on the wall? Have you a window that looks into the world? Come on now. The world that you once belonged to, the world that's under judgment, and you're enjoying the things of the world in private. Come on now. All the time professing to be separated from it. Oh, the danger of being baptized and not living a baptized life. Oh, the danger of talking about separation. Not really. Oh, the danger of a halfway house and a spirit of compromise that's weakening us. We're drugged by worldliness. Noah had a window. And Daniel had a window. And Rahab had a window. Noah's window, midst the storms of judgment, he was looking up in fellowship with God. When the decree came forth in Daniel 6, you remember? Any person that gives a petition to either God or man other than the king, into the den of lions they go. And when Daniel heard about the decree, what did he do? He went up to his room and shut the door and opened his window toward the city of the king. Daniel was free from the Babylonian system. What's our outlook? Tell me, am I getting through? Say, you young folks, you wouldn't have a meeting tonight to say you couldn't understand what Mr. Hunter was saying. Watch. When she received the spies, she expressed her faith, Hebrews 11, and raised the banner of loyalty to God, and committed high treason in the eyes of Jericho. If she'd been found out, she'd have been killed. She's one of the examples that James brings forward as justification by works. He's not in contrast with Paul. With Paul, works are legal works, the works of the law, to try and be justified. That's no use, you're justified by faith. But James says, listen, you'll need to be justified by works. With James, works are not the works of the law. Works are an integral part of faith, and if you haven't got the works, you're not saved. Now, have you got that? And she displayed her works, not only by closing the door, but by opening the window. Notice, please, she's in Jericho, but she's not off Jericho. Isn't that right? She's in it, but she's not of it. Her allegiance has changed from Jericho's king, if you like, to the captain of the Lord's host, to God and the ark. Isn't that right? Isn't that what your book says? You're in the world, but not of it. Watch. When she made her great decision and in her own limited way defended it and confessed it to the spies, she was thereby declaring that she was an enemy of Jericho and a friend of God. Isn't that right? Come on, brethren. Isn't that right? Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Isn't that what James says? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Brethren, we're experts at bringing the two together. We're so clever, so sophisticated that we think we can dabble in both. Therefore, we're only half the people we should be. Say, where you go to your room? Where you go? Get down on your knees. And when you drop to your knees, please get Jack Hunter out your head. Get down on your knees. And tell it all out to God. Tell it all out. Oh, you say it's going to make a big difference. That's right. That's right. I'll tell you something, it'll purify you. I'll tell you something, you'll be happier than you are. I'll tell you something, you'll be in the very centre of God's purposes. Listen, please. I know it's difficult for the older brethren and sisters to get down on their knees and admit that maybe for years you've been wrong. Listen to me. It caused God his Son. That caused Christ his blood and his life to save you. To save you from the world that you're beginning to love. Tell me, you young folks, is the world making its call? And you're here this week. You're here this week to have a bit of fun and games. Innocent though it may be. But not to deepen your spirit, your life. And you're here because being a Christian, you haven't many friends out there. And all the time the world's making its tug, it's calling to you. I want to plead with you as a servant of God and as a minister of Jesus Christ tonight. I want to plead with you. Are you prepared to submit to this Prince and Lord and Captain? Are you? Clasp these surrendered hands in thine. Has Christ got them? At last my will is all thine own, glad vassal of a Saviour's throne. What do you mean reproach? You'll need to break the friendships you've been forming. You'll need to stop going to the places you began to visit occasionally. But I tell you, if that's been the way of it, it'll be an experience well nigh as vivid as conversion. For God's calling you. The heart of the Christ is breaking, and the eyes of the Christ are weeping. I did all this for you.